join me in the Old Testament this morning, if you would, and to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is where we'll be, and ask you to turn there. Take your handout, and we'll have some blanks for you to fill in there in the outline, and a section for you to take some personal notes this morning. 1 Samuel, if you would, please. And we're starting a new series this morning, and it will run until Father's Day. It will conclude 6 weeks from today on Father's Day, and I trust that you'll do your very best to be faithful and be here for this new series, and looking forward to presenting the new series this morning and starting it as we come to 1 Samuel. As you see up on the screen, you see a board game that is pretty popular. In fact, it's kind of ironic. I know that my children have social media, the older ones, and they are aware of some of the new series that is coming up, but they were not aware of how I was going to use this board game. But yesterday afternoon, they all got together and decided to play the Game of Life. And you know, that game, that board game, is pretty interesting. How many of you guys have played at least once, or you're at least aware of it? All right, good. It's a fun game. It teaches you how to get rich quick, and teaches you how to not worry about debts, because you don't have to pay anything off if you think about it. It's just, you know, you buy something, but you're going to get it back. So I got some safe clauses. And to be honest with you, the Game of Life is not necessarily true in the sense of how life is lived. And of course, in front of that word life, it says the game of, and I understand the fun that is brought into the game, and I'm not here to tear apart a board game, so if you have it in your house, don't think that I'm making fun of you, because I already said that we had it, and who won yesterday anyways? Yeah. Good, the oldest one. That's good. All right, she's almost ready. Good job. All right. But the Game of Life, and what a board game it is, and what a statement. And you know, here we are today in the 21st century, and to be honest with you, there's something that is very troubling with society and what is around us today. And that is that often life is looked at as a game. Just, you know, the fling for today, the moment, the frivolous way that we often live. And really, in so many ways, I think we have taken life and we have made a big game of it. Over the next 6 weeks, I want to help us that will be here every Sunday, those that will come and visit, those that come along the way. I want to help us take this thought of life, and I want to talk very openly, candid, very transparent over these next 6 weeks about family life. That is the name of the series, is Family Life. It's not a game, but life is much more than just the frivolous fun and the things that we have really wrapped around it in our society today. Life actually is very, very serious. Life, in fact, if you think about it, is so important that, of course, Jesus Christ came and bled and died for your life. And it wasn't a game. Because if Jesus Christ wouldn't have come, think where you would be today. So I want us to take a series entitled Family Life. And with the Lord's help and with God's guidance through some passages of scriptures and on several topics, we're going to look at marriage, we're going to talk about children, we're going to look at career and the church life and where we are at as families. And hopefully do some dissecting and some helping to all that are here to understand that we have to get out of the game mode and start living life the way God intended. That's the thrust of this series. That's the hope of taking 6 weeks and looking at some passages of Scripture, some certain things, and not just, okay, more information, but biblical principles that we need in our lives and from the Bible the way we should be living and doing life. I know as I look out here this morning, I see teenagers. I see single people. I see elderly people. I understand that we're all of us in here one way or another. We're in different walks of life. But can I tell you this? That the family life still applies to you. If you're young and anticipating the future, praise God. Hopefully God will put a mate into your life one day, and that your family is built upon biblical principles, and you today can start even taking some of that in and preparing yourself. For those that are in the middle of it, if I can say that. You got teenagers, you got young ones, you've been married for a few years, and you got the career, and life's ahead of you, and you're still, what society would say, or what we would say, is you're still somewhat young. May you find some principles and some helps to guide and to help your family life. And to every elderly person in here that maybe thinks, you know what, my family has grown up, my family has moved on. Can I remind you, as long as you're alive, you have a job to do with your family. You have investment and you have stuff to put into them no matter your age. Until your deathbed and your last breath is taken, you have something to offer a generation. I want us to understand that. I want us to take that in this morning. And I want us to build it up over the next 6 weeks to really be able to walk away with so many nuggets, so much truth, that our life would no longer be a game, but it would really truly be a life that we're building for the family. I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 with me this morning. I want to talk to you first off as we get into this series about needed Hannahs. Needed Hannahs. The lady Hannah in the Word of God is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and then she's mentioned two times in chapter 2, and we don't see her mentioned anywhere else. And it's amazing because in the thought of being a mom, it is really in so many ways, and of course in our nation we have done well to really tear down motherhood. But it's one of those things that all of the sacrifice and the sweat and the labor is often done behind the scenes. And we come to a book of the Bible, 1 Samuel, where Hannah's mentioned just very little, and we won't see her in any other of the 65 books. We won't see her really carried on through the following chapters in Samuel, but just here in chapter 1 and chapter 2. But yet, she was a very, very important lady in the matter of family life. And I want us to soak that up this morning. I am, if you would take this message, you could very clearly see that, yes, this is a mother, or this is a message that is directed directly to mothers. But I will tell you this morning that every one of us, no matter who we are, this message and the points that will come out of it can be applied to our lives. Yes, we'll be speaking about Hannah, we'll be speaking about her investment, and yes, and how we need today some Hannahs. But I will tell you this, that every one of us can take the principles and say, I need that in my life, and I need to be that type of person to the honor and glory of God. Amen. Look at verse number 11, if you would, this morning, as we talk about Hannahs and how they're needed. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and the 11th verse, the she that is spoken of here is Hannah, says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Why don't you jump down to verse 27. For this child, Hannah is now speaking, I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also, I have lent or granted or given back him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he, speaking of the child Samuel, worshipped the Lord there. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray this morning as we come before you one more time. God, I'm asking that you would let the Scriptures, the Word of God, be a help to everyone that is here today. Lord, it is a very serious time we live in. And Lord, I know that there have been past generations that have probably said the exact same thing. Lord, we see culture moving. We see our society getting stranger and stranger. And yet the whole time as we go through life, we have the precious Word of God. We have a God who's on the throne. A God to help us. A God to guide us. A God with His grace to protect us and to give us mercies and His faithfulness every day. And often, we waste it. Often we let day by day slip by, time after time. And we don't invest. We don't further the next generation. We don't live life serious. We often have taken it and made it a game. Lord, today I pray that everyone here would be encouraged, they'd be helped. Lord, my intent is not to condemn or to badger or beat up anyone. My intent through this series and through the message today is just to help us understand the precious Word of God, to see the Word of God, to value the Word of God, to want to walk with the Word of God. So, Lord, would you let my words today, as you impress them upon my heart, come forth with a clear and clean, precise understanding. Lord, I pray that you would not allow people just to hear me, but, Lord, most importantly, they would hear you. And I can just be a vessel this morning to help moms, to help dads, to help children, to help families today as we glean some truth and some help for this wonderful from this wonderful passage and for this very needed message in the hour we live. In Jesus' name we pray, we say,
Amen.
As we come to this passage, we are presented with a lady by the name of Hannah. It's kind of neat to take in the lady Hannah and just to look. And of course, it's a name you can spell backwards and forward and still get the same thing. And just some neat things there. Now you can get that out of your way. Some of you are trying to figure that out, but yes, it's possible. And as you come to the opening thought, it says Hannah is shown as a woman who was an investor with her life. You know, we like to learn how to invest, don't we? Money and with our houses, our cars, our job, our time. We look into this passage of Scripture and we see a lady who is an investor of her life. Oh, how important that is. She made some very wise choices, and she continues even to this day to receive dividends because of it. I want us to kind of walk into this passage of Scripture, and Mom, it's your day. Mothers, you are called and you have been given a beautiful and special opportunity with your life. I do believe that even in a day when the world wants to talk down mothers, wants to talk down being a female, when we come to the Word of God, we learn and we see very plainly that God intended and had a great plan for every woman. And with that great plan, with that understanding of what God created man for, what He created woman for, it is a wonderful thing to come into a conversation of a life for a woman. And every woman, one way or another, within their mind, upon their heart, they ponder having children. Now, there are some that will choose not to have children, and I'm not here to say that that's a bad thing. God can guide and God gives. We even see in the early portion here that Hannah didn't have children. But every child, every lady as they're young, loves to take up baby dolls and to take that child and that little baby and treat it like a child and to change its clothes and to change its diaper and to feed it. And I remember growing up with several sisters, and they had all of these baby dolls everywhere. And they had the baby powder, and they had the little bottles that they put water in that they sprayed like it was a perfume, and all of this silliness, to be honest with you, that I thought. But I remember growing up with my sisters, and then when we had children, my wife and I, and we had three girls right away, and it was funny to watch that immediately they took to just that little child, that little baby doll. You know, I mean, sometimes they drug it by the foot and knock its head on the ground. But they love that child. The baby doll wasn't to be found. I didn't know where it was. There was a tizzy. There was this. And you just see from a young girl, and as they grow and mature, that there's just this yearning, there's this desire of just children. And that's what God, no doubt, put in the heart of every lady. And you see that as a mom gets, or as a lady gets married, one of the first questions that they're usually addressed with, and may I say, we ought to be careful, of course, but one of the first things after somebody gets married is, hey, when do you have children? When do you have children? And you know why? Because even in our minds, even in our day and age, we live, we go, okay, listen, you know, you grow up, you become a teenager, you become a young adult, you get married, and after you get married, the next thing you're going to do is have children. And so the question comes, right? And then after they have one, what's the next question? When are you going to have another? And then eventually after they have two or three, how many are you going to have? You know why? Because we understand that women are given by God just that beauty of obviously being mothers. And to every mom that is here today, thank you for the sacrifice and for the effort that you put in to being a mother. Some moms have passed on, and for this day, for some of you, it brings tears and thoughts to the investment that mom has made and even put into your life. I also want to say as we kick this message off that I also know that there's some that sit here today and they look over life and maybe mom has passed on and maybe they weren't given a mom. Maybe a mom wasn't in their life. And maybe today, if you're not careful, today could be a sour day for you. But I want to encourage you and help you, no matter what you experience when the thought of mom or mother comes, give God the glory. Be grateful for what you can learn, what you have gone through, what God has revealed to you, what you have been taught, good or bad. And be grateful for the mom that God gave you. We're all given one mom, and we ought to be very grateful and thankful for that mom.
Amen.
I want us to just take three thoughts away this morning on this idea of Hannahs and how they are needed. Number one, I want you to note that Hannah invested for the family. Invest for the family. Oh, how today we need some mamas. We need some mothers. We need some young ladies that would continue to prepare and prep themselves to be investors for the family. We will, over the next few weeks, talk more about the family and how it's fractured and how it is really aching today. And we won't take the time to bring all the stats and statistics into it. But it wouldn't take very long for you and I to talk about the family and to learn and to see how it is very, very fractured. I want to submit to you this morning, number one, that what we need is we need some ladies, we need some mamas that will invest for the family. Come back, if you would, to verse number 1 and 2. And as you see the opening of this passage, we learn of a man by the name of Elkanah. He had two wives. In verse number 2, it says, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the other one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, as you jump into this with me, we are going to talk about the family. And we see from the start of this, we have a husband and wife. Of course, we have two wives in this, which brings its own problems and its own situation that can be talked about. But we see that there's this a family setup. We have a husband and we have a wife. We have Elkanah and we have Hannah. We see that there is now, from a mother's heart, from a wife's heart, a desire to invest. We learn, we read later on that that she had no children, and that's the reason that she had no children, in verse number 5, is because the Lord shut up her womb. So she was barren. As we see that Hannah being married to Elkanah, we see that Hannah, though, invested her life into her family. Through all the circumstances that were going on, pleasant as they were, weren't pleasant, she still was determined to invest for the family. I want you to fill in two blanks underneath the outline portion. I want to talk to you about this thought of investing for the family. Number one, in spite of difficulty, we must invest for the family. And number two, in spite of difficulty, and also in spite of discouragement. Go ahead and read those up, you with Jason, those next two blanks for us. Invest for the family in spite of difficulty and in spite of discouragement. In verse number 3 that we read on, and this man went up out of the city early to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord. And the two sons, Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was come that Elkanah offered, he gave unto Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Note verse 6. And her adversary, which was the other wife, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up on the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. We've already read verse 11, but I want us to just talk about this topic for a moment. When we say that Hannahs are needed and we talk about investing for the family, we see a lady here who had no children, that the Lord had shut up her womb, but yet she had gone through difficulty and she had gone through discouragement, but yet she was willing to stay focused and continue to push on, continue to go forth and to give her life for what she yearned for, what she desired for, and to have a great living space or to have a great life that God would bless and God would encourage her as she continued. Here we sit this morning in this building with moms scattered throughout here, families throughout here. And I want to say to every one of us that sit here this morning that number one, each and every one of us needs to take ownership to invest for the family. As we look at every one of our lives, and again, I'm not going to take the time to say, Dad, this is how you need to be today. Children, this is how you need to be today. We look at the life of Hannah, and we see that she was willing to invest no matter how difficult it was. Can I just give you this charge this morning? No matter how bad you think your family is, invest for the family. Amen. The difficulty will always be there. The difficulty will always come. She had another person in this marriage, the other wife that was there to provoke her, was just to be that thorn in the side, to be that, just to be that ache and that pain. But yet Hannah decided that she was going to continue to invest, no matter the difficulty. Often moms give up, dads give up too soon. Oh, how we need to, through difficulty, continue to press on. We'll talk about marriage in a few weeks. We'll talk about children in a few weeks. May I just kind of lump it and say this morning, listen, your marriage ought to be important to you. Your children ought to be important to you. Because they're the next generation that is up and coming and the generation that will follow. And listen, they need to see a mama. They need to see a daddy who is willing to invest for the family. Our investments are always important to us. And what we should value the most is not money, is not our career, but our family itself. Don't let your career, don't let money, don't let the things that the world often pushes at you and pushes upon you, and sometimes we can so quickly grab at, be what you're truly investing all your time into. But look at your family. Look at your family, look at your spouse, look at your children, and take in this morning this thought of, listen, what is needed is that there will be individuals within the family who would be willing to invest for the family. It's difficult. I want you to note this morning that I don't believe that God ever said that the family would be an easy place to live. I don't think we ever see that recorded. In fact, time and time again within the Word of God, we see really the more to the thought of, listen, family is going to be hard. Family life is going to be difficult. Family life is going to be at times with uncertainty and sometimes with doubt and with a lot of, even if we're not careful, a lot of flesh that turns us to anger. But we still need to be continuing investing. Well, Pastor, when can I give up? Man, if you are breathing, you should never give up on your children, never give up on your marriage. Well, but everybody else does it. Just because everybody else does it, doesn't make it right.
Certainly.
If we throw away what we have invested into because it's difficult, to be honest with you, some of you throw away your IRAs. Some would throw away your stock plans. Because remember, they went down a few years back? It was horrible a few years back, right? But if I asked you today, are you still working it? Oh, yeah, I'm working it. I'm still investing into it. I'm still doing something with it because I want to see it come out. I want it to be great. I'm investing and I'm putting time and effort because I want to see it flourish. Can I ask this question this morning? How much are you investing time and effort and continuing through the difficult times because you want to see your life of family flourish? It does not happen by accident. It doesn't just happen. Listen, families that have children that we would label as good, can I tell you this? It doesn't happen by accident. It's not like God said, oh, you're just going to have good children. There's an effort, there's a work, there's a push that is always continually going and going and going. And I guarantee you, if you ask every parent in here, have you had a difficult time in your marriage and in your family? Everyone would say, yes, 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 yes. I don't think one person in here would go, man, my marriage has been a breeze. My children have been perfect. No one would say that. But many would say, man, it's been difficult. There's been times when I didn't know where to turn or what to do or if I even thought it was worth going on because it was so difficult. And here's Hannah. We see that she is weeping bitterly, that we see that she is with bitterness of soul, that she is heavy and feeling at the motive of anger and discontentment. But she still wants to invest. She still wants to pray in verse number 11. She vows a vow and says, God, if you give me a child, I'll continue to invest for the family. Yes, she loved Elkanah. Yes, she had the provoking from the other wife. She said, it's difficult, but I want to continue to invest. My friend, this morning, the devil is the greatest discourager. And he knows that if he can attack your family, he can have victory. He knows it. I cannot tell you the days that I have awoken and started the day and to see just the attack before I even leave the house by something that can come down through a conversation with my wife or my children or something that can just be, if you're not careful, a discouragement and start to cause ruckus or start to cause an angst or a grind within the home. And the devil, think about this, he wakes up every single day. This is his glory. I want to see if I can ruin your home. And don't be fooled and don't think otherwise. Every single day the devil wakes up and he says, and you feel in your last name right now, I want to ruin that home. I want to destroy that home. I want to discourage that home. I want to pull that home as far apart as I can. When you think, oh, it's not going to be pulled apart anymore, guess what? It's going to go further and further. Because the devil wants to discourage you. Think about this back in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. God created the heavens and the earth. Day 1, good. Day 2, good. Day 3, 4, 5, 6. He saw it and he said, whoa, it's good. Stories retold and recounted in chapter 2 more in depth with humanity. God created Adam. Said, hey, you need to help me. So he takes the rib as Adam is asleep and he takes that rib and he makes woman. Adam sees woman and he calls her Eve. And he turns to those two and says, listen, multiply and replenish. Have babies. Create family. And the devil says, oh, I destroy you. I will come and discourage you. I will come and cast doubt on what God has said. And he does that in chapter 3. From the very start of humanity and family, the devil has been working and working and working hard to discourage families. He wants dads today, he wants moms today to give up on their children. Because they've gone this way, because they've gone that way, may I say to you, mom and dad, never ever give up on your children. No matter how bad they may be, remember this, God loves them, bled and died for them, and he bled and died for you, and he's merciful and gracious and loving to you, and you are to do the exact same thing to your children.
Amen.
There are marriages here today that are fractured or hurting. Can I say to you, don't give up. Don't give up. It's not worth it. Continue through the difficulty and the discouragement times and invest for the family. It may appear that the investment that you're making into your family is not paying off. It may look like your spouse or your children are not coming out as you planned or as you have prayed. But remember this, it's your job to continue to invest and invest and invest. As you think about the discouragement, and you think about this scene in these first 10 verses, that's not very pleasing. That's not very impressing. As we would say, man, Hannah, being picked on and being challenged and being provoked by the other wife, God choosing to shut up her womb. But yet Hannah says, I'll invest. I'll continue to press on for the family and for the good, even through the difficulty and the discouragement. My friend, family is like that sometimes. You may be defeated. You may be discouraged with the way things are going on in your family right now. But can I say this? Two strong words. Keep investing. Keep investing. But pastor, don't try to qualify. What God has given, keep investing. Yes, it might be hard and difficult, and you might not have the answer today. But can I have you take these two words? Keep investing. Investing for the family. Secondly, write this down if you would this morning. Invest for the faith. Invest for the faith. Verse 11, we see the vow that she says to the Lord, if you will give me thy handmaid a child, I will give him unto the Lord. Verse 12 says, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, And the Lord God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, returned and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. I want you to note with me secondly this morning, we need some Hannahs, we need some people, we need some ladies, we need some moms that will not only invest for the family, but secondly invest for the faith. I want you to write these two things down in your blanks. Number one, I want you to see that Hannah had a personal faith, and secondly, that she had a profound faith. A personal faith and a profound faith. Mama, if you want to help your family, if you want to help your children, your faith walk will do so much. Your faith walk will be very, very impressionable to your child. You see here in chapter number one of reading of Hannah and this godly woman and how she was given to God. She had the difficulty. She had the discouragement. But through it all, she comes, and as she's there before Eli and as she's there to make the vow and to plead to her God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back. It goes on, and we see throughout this that she comes with obviously a heavy, heavy spirit. She comes with a faith that God is on the throne, that God will answer, that God is her help, that God is her plea. Of course, Eli is stumped there for a little while, thinking that she's drunk in the question, and then are asked, and the clarity is given by answer of that I'm not drunk, but that I am pouring out my soul to God. Mama, you know what your children need to see? Is you pouring out your heart to God for them. Listen, we want our children to be successful. I get it. I understand that we want our children to step into the biggest and the greatest opportunities. And all of us as parents can take that, and we can push it, and we can drive them that way. And there's nothing wrong with pushing and driving them that way if it be of God. But may I say to you this morning, parents and moms and dads, before you push your child one way, pour your heart out to God. Lift your child to God. Give them all to God. Let God do what He wants with them, the way He wants, when He wants, where He wants, how He wants. And your responsibility, my responsibility as parents, is to say, here, my soul will be poured out. A personal faith will speak very, very loud to your children. Can I ask this question, Mama? If you were to die today, and obviously that'd be horrible on Mother's Day, I get it. But if this was your last day and it was done, over finished, what would your children say about you? Man, my mom was the greatest. She was my buddy, my pal, my friend. She took me everywhere. She bought me cool shoes. She made sure I had the best school. She gave me the best lunches. We went out to dinner all the time. We did this, we did that. Where would it come that maybe they would say, my mama was? My mommy was one that opened her Bible, and not only did she read her Bible personally and have a personal faith and a personal walk with God, but she implored it and she showed me and she bestowed it upon us. Mama, the greatest thing you can do is not give your child the greatest, coolest pair of shoes, but to show them a personal faith, a walk with God. So that when hard times come, and mama doesn't know what to do, and mama doesn't know where to turn, and mama doesn't know what to say next, but mama knows that she can pour her heart out to God and show a personal faith that, God, you got this. God, remember about the widow there with Elijah? Or Elisha, excuse me, and how that you get into the story and the situation. That widow was scared. But one thing that she did is she showed a personal faith and a trust in God. Listening and following and taking the examples. Oh, my friend, listen to me. As you sit here this morning, a personal faith is something that we ought to look at and take and go, how am I doing? I as a dad, as a pastor, as a husband, as a human, I don't want to get to the end of my life and not to have people say it about me. And you have faith and walk with God. My friend, what are you efforting? What are you giving yourself to? Hannah gave herself to God. She invested for the faith with a personal faith, but not only a personal faith, but a profound faith. Before, if you think back here, before she even has a child, she was willing and wanting to give that gift back to God. She wanted, of course, to experience and have the thought of being a mother and to fulfill the desire for her husband and to be able to enjoy motherhood. But as it's all going on, she shows her faith and reveals her faith, and she says, God, if you'll give, I give back. God, if you will entrust to me, I'm willing to make sure that I do my very best to have a personal faith, but also a deep desire in my walk with faith, and I'm willing to give my child back to you. Mommy, can I ask this? Have you given your children back to God? God gave them to you, and yes, you're a mother, and yes, you're a mommy, and yes, you can enjoy motherhood. But have you had the faith, not only in your life personally, but a profound faith to say, you know what? God can do way better with my child than I ever could. See, Mama, don't get trapped in thinking that you can do better than God. In a society that is pushing and pushing and pushing and throwing and throwing and throwing, one thing we don't hear often is, give your child to God. Give your child back to God. Hannah had a profound faith. She knew that she could not do as good as God could do. Mama, this morning, note that. You cannot do by yourself what God wants to do with your child. It takes a profound faith. It takes a willingness to say, God, you got this. And may I just say this? It'll look totally different than what you think it should look like. It will. That means that maybe your child won't be wearing the most hippest, craziest, coolest shoes. But that's just fine. It might mean that maybe your child is not engaged and locked into every single sport and athletic and other event out in the world, but that's just fine. I guarantee you they'll have a better chance turning out for God, giving your child back to God, than you trying to plug him in and everything out there. Pastor, that's so old school. No, it's Bible, my friend. Samuel is weaned, we'll learn and see here in just a moment. And at a young age, he's in the house of God. He's serving in the things and for the things of God. Mama, show and give and entrust and ask your child to serve for the things of God when they're young. Listen, we see it constantly in churches. And may I say that even we have this epidemic going across churches, and it's even in our church where older people are serving but young are doing hardly anything. My friend, listen to me. It is time we implore and give and tell and instruct and let the young generation do something great for God. Because we say, well, when they're older, when they're in their 20s and 30s, when they're 40s, they'll have their time. No, their time is now. And may we be willing to not step out of the way, but come alongside them and walk with them and bring them to church, instruct them in the things of God, have a personal faith and a profound faith and say, listen, God can do so much with you if you just make sure I, as a parent, give it back to Hannah, her plea in her heart. She's wanting a child. She's yearning for a child. And she's willing to invest for the faith. Can I ask this question? What are we doing for the faith? What are we doing for God? What is your family known for in 2017? Are you a Sunday churchgoer occasionally when it fits into your schedule and that's your life and that's how you kind of fit it in? And hey, there's nothing going on today. Or, wow, today's Mom's Day. I better go to church because Mom's going to be there. Or is it your life? Is it your DNA? It's your want to. It's your, I want God in my life. I want God to take me. I want God to use me. I want my personal faith to be real and in the lives of my children. And I want to have a profound faith that God can take my child in a day when maybe we don't think he can take a child. And he can make him a missionary. He can make him a church goer and a church attender and a faithful person. Or we have the attitude of the world, well, when they're 18, 19, 20, they're going to walk away anyways. You know why? Because Mom and Dad didn't walk faithfully into church. And I know that sounds harsh, that sounds ugly, but it's honest truth. If we will help our children, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You've got to touch the palate. You've got to feed the child. And if you're feeding the child a bunch of garbage and a bunch of hogwash, don't expect him to want to come and sit in church and listen to a pastor tell and teach the things of God that would be contrary to what the school tells. Oh, how we have to implore and ask the question, what am I doing for the faith? Mama, you're not going to be around forever. If God gives and takes your life, and someday as it would go in time and understood, your child's going to be here by themselves. Will they be able to say you invested for them? Will they be able to say that, man, I have a faith walk today, doing what I do, how I do, when I do, where I go, because Mama and Daddy love me. Mommy and Daddy gave me. Mommy and Daddy invested into my faith, into my walk with God. And they told me that God was more important than the things of the world, and that God would supply my need and never the world, and God would take me through the struggles and never the world. Or do we go, hey, listen, you'll be okay. Pull yourself up. Walk strong. Walk hard. Do it all yourself. I can do all things through Christ. Only with Christ can I be able to be victorious and be a leader and be a man of God that I need to be. Only through Christ. And if we're teaching our teenagers that rock and roll and this conversation and that technology and this and that and this and this is way more important than God, my friend, listen to me. We are not doing our job. We're not investing for the faith. Can Mountain View Baptist Church be vibrant and be on fire for God? Yes, it can, with the generation that's here and with the generation to come. But only if we do our job and invest. Invest. See, we can get all in a tizzy when the pastor says, hey, you got to come to church on Sunday night. You got to come to church on Wednesday night. Pastor, you just want a lot of people at church. Actually, what I want is a lot of people learning and desiring the things of God and building principles and a foundation that's firm. So the next generation has hope. The next generation has help. The next generation knows that, listen, God is alive and God is on the throne and God wants to do something in America, and He'll do something in America if we will get up and rise. Right. Oh, there's a Hannah just in 1 Samuel 1. Who had difficulty and who had discouragement, but she said, I'm invested for the family. We see her personal faith. We see her profound faith. And she says, I'm willing to invest for the faith. And here's the final thing I want you to see this morning. You see a lady who now is going to be given the child that she pleaded to the Lord for. And note this, that early on, before she's even given the child, so to speak, as we read of the story here, she's still investing into the family. She's still investing for the faith. And now here comes Samuel along the way. And I want you to see thirdly, we see Hannah was willing to invest for the future. Invest for the future. It was Talmud who said, life will soon pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. Hear me this morning. I'm not trying to be mean as your pastor. I'm trying to be loving, genuine, caring, heartfelt this morning. Because as I look out, and as my phone goes off, and as I spend my week and my time, day after day, moment by moment, it's a family problem because of this, and a family situation because of this. I'm reminded that the devil is always attacking, destroying, discouraging, doubting, hitting people as hard as he can, because he knows this: if families will start living and walking with the Lord, this nation would be different. Amen. And may I say to you this morning that your pastor is not the answer guy. The answer guy, or the answer, is right here in this guide, the precious word of God. Amen. Daddy, can I encourage you right now? Your message is coming in 6 weeks. Can I encourage you as a daddy? Make the Bible your guide for your family. Not the smartest, most brilliant CEO who's written a book that you think you can pick up some truths and some thoughts along the way. Make the guide the Bible for your family. That means, Dad, you have to read your Bible. Dad, that means that you have to obey the Bible. Dad, that means you have to be willing to heed the Bible. Dad, that means you have to be willing to lead with the Bible. Well, I don't know about that. I think I can be okay on my own. Listen, you can look successful, but you're not going to be successful unless you let the guide be your guide.
Amen.
There's a future coming. Long as the Lord tarries and time continues to go forth, we got to be investing for the future. Mommy, mothers, I encourage you this morning to invest in the future. Can kind of come up last Wednesday night, a little bit before, and your pastor stumbled on the platform last Sunday night. See, if you don't come on Sunday night, you miss a lot, right? But anyways, I was standing over there, and next thing I know, I was laying on the ground. But anyways, I'm not that old. I'm not. But it's amazing how things just change in your mind. And let me get all soupy and emotional on you, but man, I get to be 40 soon in January. I get to be married 20 years in August. I have a daughter, and I'm not trying to make it about me, but I want you to hopefully make my point here. I have a daughter who gets to turn 18 in September. I wish I could stop that one, but anyway. I have a daughter who graduates in a month. Another one who's on the threshold of looking to graduate next year and on. Some would say, man, Pastor, you're old or getting old. And yes, in a way I am in that. But you know what? I'm realizing and I'm understanding that the future is what I better make sure I'm really investing for. I feel like I've been doing that, but oh, so much the more it's like, wow. I mean, I know you have probably read this. There are some 40-year-olds who die, some 45-year-olds who die. Heart attacks, different things. I don't plan, I don't want to. In fact, my wife tells me I'm going to eat better. I'm trying, but we're still balking at that. But anyways, you know what? As long as the Lord tarries, there's a future. And this morning, I believe one of the greatest things that we need to buckle down and deal with is what are we really going to leave our children? Next week, we'll be in Psalm 127 talking about a few things. And the family success. But can I have you join me back here in 1 Samuel 1? I want you to continue watching as I read. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about how after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called him Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord yearly sacrifice in his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou wean him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck, and until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, verse 24, she took him up with her, with the 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the Lord was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood before thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I have asked him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he should be a lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Verse 1 in chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Jump down to verse number 18 in chapter 2. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah, and his wife, and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own house. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Fill in the blanks. Through commitment and through your child. Pastor, how do I invest for the future? Number one, through your commitment. Through sticking through the thick and thin. Through staying focused on God no matter what. Commitment. Commitment is a word that we often don't find in families anymore. Amen. But I'll tell you this, if we will make a commitment in our family and in our faith and for the future, things can turn out a whole lot different. She kept her commitment. The babe comes, Samuel is a baby, and she eventually weans him. And around the age of 4 or so, she's now leaving the child. There to be a servant, to be a faithful help to the house of the Lord. It's a story that is startling sometimes to us, or astounding that, you know, why would a mama do this? But may I remind you that she knew that God knew best. Her plan was to live godly and to stay committed to the vow that she had made. We read in chapter 20, or verse 21 and chapter 2 that she has more children. I can only trust, it doesn't say, but I only can trust that she raised those children for the Lord. That she gave those children to the Lord. Because she knew the importance of the future. See, America has its problems, and its problems keep coming and coming and coming. And you and I probably can't change all the problems in America in our lifetime. But one thing we can do is we can give help to our children into the future and be committed so that they can hopefully go and make an impact. So that they can continue to help this nation be working and turning toward the things of God. Through your commitment and through your child. Look at verse number 26 in chapter 2. I'm almost done. At the end of verse 21, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Hold this thought. Let's just bridge this together real quick. The future. The baby's going to be weaned, dropped off. Verse 21, Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 26, the Samuel grew on and was in favor with both with the Lord and also with men. I want you to come to chapter 3 real quick. For Samuel 3, look at verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even unto Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Soak that up for just a moment. What a mom. What a mom to want to invest not only in her personal faith and have a profound faith, but into the future. God, if you'll give me a child, I'm going to give him back to you, and I'm going to trust you can do great things with him. Better than I could ever imagine. She keeps her commitment, and she sees that for the future, as she's growing up and as she's growing old, she sees the future a little bit brighter. Because she sees a Samuel who grew in the Lord, who grew on, and now is growing up. Mama, whatever age your child is today, start asking and begging God that they would grow spiritually. That they would be guided to the things of God. That you would feed them and instruct them and help them and encourage them and show them how God can help them and change their life. What is needed? Hannahs who will invest for the family, for the faith, and for the future. In a few weeks, when we get into the marriage conversation, we'll talk about the role of a mom biblically and what God designs and gives. But can I say this to every mom as I'm closing? God doesn't need another Oprah Winfrey or Ellen or a woman who's got a chase and thinks they're going to be a CEO of a company. I'm not trying to be against all of that, but I'll tell you this. What God wants is mothers. Amen. Who would just invest for the family, the faith, and the future. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?